Today's daf is daf lamed beis. We're holding by the Mishnah. Rezaka elika Mishnah. Ein po chatina taner mipnei shu ose kli. Aval, oops. Ve ein osin pechabim biyom tov. So first of all, the Mishnah's listing, we're actually coming here to a series of issues that have to do with making a kli. And we actually, if you think about it, we introduced the issue of binyan and stira yesterday. Tikkun Mona is part of that whole idea, although it relates also to issues of Gemar Malach and Makib Patish, and the Perek is dedicated to a great extent to these issues. So we open up the direct question of Asiyas Kli with the idea of not being Pochet Aner. Now, what exactly it means to be Pochet Aner, there are many different Pirushim. Rashi learns that basically, if you think about the manufacture of Neirot, of course, don't mean candles, I mean lamps, in their days, what they would do, they would manufacture, I think it's a play on words, actually, and beitza, which is a bitza. In other words, the little eggs that are actually bitzot, which are swampy, they're just pieces of wet clay that have not yet been, what do you do to clay? When you put it into the when you burn it. What is it?
Called?
It's when it's not put in the kiln. But what's the word for being serif kliheres in English? Oh gosh. All right. Anyway, well, we know what we're talking about. So these are just clay that haven't yet been baked. So what they would do is they would form them into an egg shape. And then you would punch the top down, and then you would basically form a little indentation where the oil would stay. And that punching is called to be pochet. That's how Rashi works. But this would mean that they're not at all baked. They haven't been put into a kiln at all. Tosfos has a lot of problems with this issue from the sugya that comes. And also, he tainas that if you don't make a kli, I mean, it should be, even though you're not finishing the kli, it's still poshut, you can't do the malachas of the whole big, I mean, this is the main point that you're doing. So he doesn't like Rashi's hope shot. He learns ein pochat in it, and they're in a very different way. That when they would, before baking the kli charis, where you have something that has sides with an open area in between, they would put in something to support the sides to prevent it from curling inward from the heat. So they put in, let's say, a little bit of straw, you know, just a cross to keep it like spokes. Then they would take it out before the completion so it wouldn't get stuck. They would take it out after baking it, let's say 70%, take it out, remove the straw, and then reinsert it until it was baked solid. So then when you have over here the pochatin, there were some people who were makbid, they would take it out early, leave the kasha, and they didn't care. It's where makbid, that it should be completely finished. So the pochet would be to open it up, taking apart the straw support. That's how Tosfos learns. The Rambam learns pochatin in a very contemporary way. He learns that these things were made basically mass production, so that you would take a lot of these bitzot after they were pumped out. They would still be connected with a thin piece, which you then, when you took it out of the tanur, it was easy to handle that way, it's one piece. You took it out of the tanur and you snapped them apart. So you would have one-time usage neirot. They would snap like we do for the Chanukah menorahs, or like we do for the yogurts. Uh-huh. Right? So they would be left with a thin layer that you could snap off. So the ein pochatin would mean you can't snap it off. From which a lot of the contemporary poskim use the Rambam's pshat to aser breaking apart the yogurts if they're made in this way, because that's mamish ein pochatin etaner. It's amazing, like, where you'll find these modern sugyas, right? But indeed, Rabbi Yashar Paskin's like that adayon you're not allowed to. But a lot of poskim are matered. Rav Shlomo Zalman's atzal was matered years ago when they first came out. He was matir because it's nikar l'kol that it's only there, not as part of the kli at all. The kli is completely finished. It's just simply a packaging mechanism that allows. It's not even part of the kli. Why is that called completion of the kli? He yelled b'chalal. It wasn't again. Other places, can you remember there are kalim that are called temper, use kalim. Kalim or lighter than we had back in the Indian of Shabbos. They're not considered to be kalim because they're thrown out and they're junky. And on that bichlal, a lot of the akbaras, we don't find the times they're not included in Asiyas Kli at all, these throwaway kalim. Well, it's all part of one part of the bottle top issue and controversy. Furthermore, you're not allowed to make pecham, which is a charcoal that is used generally for industrial purposes. They use it for making steel or for absorbing the impurities and gold that can activate a charcoal. You can't make that on Yom Tov.
And scotch.
Ooh, and scotch. Now that's tzarech lechol nefesh. It's even shovel lechol nefesh. V'ein chotchin et aptila. If you have a long wick that you want to cut, you're not allowed to cut it, because that's also called a debris metakinically. Now you have two wicks. Rabbi Yehuda omer chotcha b'ur. You can put it, well, we'll see in the Gemara, but here it sounds like you can just take it, hold it over the fire and burn it into two, which the Gemara is going to ask on, and comes out that isn't what it means, but we'll see. Man tana de b'chitat ner mana. Now who is the man diomar who is saying that taking out the, according to Tosfos, the inside, before it's completely baked, or according to Rashi, it's not baked at all, and punching out the ner itself is considered to be making a kli, who is that man diomar? Omer of Yosef Rabbi Meir, the Tanya Klicheres Ve'imatay Mekabil Tuma, Misha Nigmra Melachto. So the Tana of our Mishnah is following this Divrei Rabbi Meir. So at the point that you finished creating its shape, how do we know that that's what it means? Because Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Misha Yitzarfu Bekivshan, only after it's baked in the kiln. So clearly Rabbi Meir held that the formation of the kli, even before baking it, is considered to be a act of tikkun mana. You're making the kli, and that's sufficient. Therefore, our Mishnah assers it, even though, according to Rashi, it hasn't been baked at all, or even though, according to Tosfos, it hasn't gone through the completion of its baking, which is the final tziruv. Nonetheless, it's called a kli. Says the Gemara, how do you know, Omer Lei Abaye, how do you know that even Rabbi Meir would say in this case that that's called making a kli? Mimai, Dilmaat Kan, look, Omer Rabbi Meir, Hata, Medo, the Chazi, Le Kabuli, Bemide. Perhaps Rabbi Meir was talking about kalim that were large enough, significant enough, that even after punching it out, have basically a soft clay device. Which Tosfos says, if that's really what you think it means, he argues on Rashi, then you're talking about kli adoma. What's that? How do you call a kli cheres adoma that hasn't been baked? Why isn't that just plain kli adoma? And kli adoma is not makabel to me. So I don't understand what he means. Yet that's why, again, according to Tosfos, we're talking about it was baked, just wasn't completed. Okay, but again, and as Rashi obviously holds that those materials that are not earthen, but are clay-like, that are meant to harden into a real kli mitzuraf, at the end are called kli cheres, according to Rabbi Meir, even at this early stage. But in any event, Abaye says, look, I mean, maybe that's talking about a large bowl. Large bowl you could take, even though it's, I mean, you can't put any liquids in it, obviously, because it'll mess up the clay. But you could certainly put in, let's say, some, you know, nuts, or use it as a pencil keeper. The kids bring home that kind of stuff all the time. So maybe that's what Rabbi Meir was talking about. But I mean, a small lamp, which cannot be used for the oil because it hasn't been baked. And it's certainly not large enough to put anything significant in. So what makes you think that I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, that would be considered a kli at all? So it's chazir kibuli b'midi. It's because you can use it for something. What in the world are you going to use it for? To which the Gemara answers, well, even here it's chazir kibuli b'midi. You can use it the kibuli b'pshitit. It basically serves as every house has got a little kli in which everybody throws their change, right? And then, you know, I mean, you have to have a little change kli. So this nair, even though it hasn't been baked and cannot be used for oil, could still be used as your little penny holder, or, you know, or what's the penny today, the shekel holder. Omer Rav Yosef. Others say that what Rav Yosef answered to the original question of who is the author of the Mishnah was not Rabbi Meir, but rather Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok. Where do we see his shita? Tetnan, Ilfasin Charaniot. Where's Barnea when we need him? Ilfasin Charaniot Tahorot. So these Ilfasin were basically large, unfinished, according to Rashi again, Lashitasai, unfinished, wide kelim that had not yet been formed into a Beit Kibul and had also not yet been baked. Now these were used.
Want a picture?
Of what it isn't. Now that is exactly what Ilfas and Charaniot are not. Seriously. No. That is insane. Come on. No, I don't believe it. That can't be. You're mixing it up. That's a picture of something else.
No, no, Ilfas and, take a look.
Ilfas. That's an Il. No, tell me it's not true.
Say it in song.
Really say it in song.
Going, going, going.
Oh my God.
Yes!
Well, okay, puts an explanation that makes it at least possible.
Is that the size, shape of pot?
No, it's not that size, shape of pot at all. No, but there is a way to learn that it could look something like that. If it's just a shot based on the Yerushalmi that he's bringing, you could say that. All right, but in any event, let's take Rashi's shot as an opening. And now we have Barnea back, so we can point out that Ilfas and Charaniot are Ilfas that come from Charan.
Really?
That's what I'm guessing.
Or might be Choran, in the Bashan.
Is that the point over here is that we're talking about a place where people live with very low standard of living. So they live like villagers. That's the pshat the Gemara is going to explain.
I would put my money on the Choran because that's more like not desert with sand, but like wide open spaces, difficult to live on.
Maybe, like okay. Right, but it's probably the name of the. What are the places? Yes. So, anyway. So, according to Rashi, what we have over here is once they spread out the clay in order to make the kli, and now they haven't yet formed it and put it into the oven, it's already in places where people aren't very mocked, but it's already usable to put your meat on and so on, and it's more like a placemat kind of thing that they would use, even though it's made out of clay. Again, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi completely because of the sugya that's coming, and he holds that a kli that doesn't have any base kibo, which is the way Rashi is learning it, couldn't possibly be mekabel tuma here in these circumstances, as we'll see. So he tainas what it is. It's like Rashi says. However, it's formed as a single piece with the bottom and the top connected. And then you break off the top by slicing it through. And then they make like an indentation for this purpose later. People that use it without breaking off the top, and therefore obviously it can't look anything like that picture, even according to Tosfos, because it has to have at least a flat area on top that you can use. The people who aren't makbid, they don't bother breaking, they just use the top, they use the whole thing basically as a raised placemat. Which, again, that picture makes no sense because it has a curved top. Furthermore, it has a large bottom that brings it up. Nobody would use it without just as a top. Why in the world would I want to use such a thing just as a top? So there's the machlokas. Rashi and Tosfos isn't in the overall shape of the thing, but rather in whether it has internally a Beit Kibul that functions as a real kli with kibul. And we'll see why that's nogea, an understanding of the sugya that's coming. Yes, sir?
Have you seen it's like those trays that they have that have air inside but made out of ferrous? It's like
a flat. Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good example. So here it says in the Mishnah that such containers are tohoros ba'ol ha'meit, and they're tmeot b'masa hazav. Why are they Tohar ba'ol amet, if they're considered to be already a kli cheres, according to Rashi, because since it says over there, v'chol kli patuach, asher ein samit patil alav, so that means that it has to be something that has a beit kibul with a top. So if the top is on it, it's tahar. If the top is off, it's tamei. But if it doesn't have anything to cover with the top at all, so then it doesn't even enter into the set of things that would be tamei ba'al amet. On the other hand, if it is a klei shimush, so when it comes to a zav is metamei, not ba'al, he's metamei just by moving it, beheset, right? So in order for it to be makabel tumah beheset, that's certainly considered to be a normal kli, it's a kli cheres. And therefore, he can be makabel, the kli cheres can be makabel tumah, even though it doesn't have only a toch. Okay, so what does that mean? That it's considered to be a kli, because of the fact that it's used as is, even though it's not, it hasn't been baked, it doesn't have a pnim. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, no, after harot b'masazav, Lefisha lo nigmara melachtan. It's even tohar if a zov touches it, because it's not yet complete. Now, which part isn't complete? If the issue over here was that it wasn't baked, then obviously they wouldn't be arguing about the problem of the ilfis and charaniot that have two separate issues. Gemar melacha in terms of making a toch, and the final tziruf. So clearly, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok is using the word gemar melachtan the way Rabbi Meir used it previously. Nigmar melachtan means that it's not finished being shaped completely. But in terms of tziruf, that's a separate issue. So he's not makbid on the tziruf part. He doesn't mind that it hasn't been baked. A kli that is clay is also considered to be makabot tumah. But if it hasn't been formed with a Beit Kibul, then it's not considered to be a Kli. Okay, so that's basically our Mishnah. We have a Ner. I'm now going, in Rashi's approach, I'm now going to punch out the Ner. I have basically an egg-shaped piece of clay. I punch the top in, create a Ner. I then have to go bake it, but the Mishnah says I can't do it even if I don't bake it. Apparently, therefore, it's already considered to be a Kli. Who is that man diyamar, Rabbi Eliezer Reb Tzadok, who holds that the Gemar Malacha would be the creation of the Beit Kibul, which is what I did in the Mishnah with the Ner. So everything fits like Rashi's pshat. Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's pshat because he says if it doesn't have a toch, the way Rashi's learning, it would not be makabel tumah even beheset. Why? Because the klal is Kol shelo balech lal maga. If you can't be matamit b'maga, you can't be makab. But eno balech lal eset. You can't be matamit either with eset. Since of your kli cheres is only makabel tumah from its inside, if there is no inside, you can't say, well, eset doesn't care if there's an inside. You're right. Eset doesn't care if there's an inside. But there needs to be the possibility of tumah from the inside b'maga. Therefore, Tosfos says that what we're talking about over here is that there is a toch, but it needs peeling apart in order to get to the toch. These people use it, which is what he was trying to show there. These people use it without. Why is it tor ba'ol ha'meit? Because until it's open, that's the ultimate samit patil. So it's tor ba'ol ha'meit because it hasn't yet been open. So that's called koshiyat samit patil alav. But since it's omed lihipatach, it's meant to be opened, it's considered to have a toch, and therefore it's mekabel tumah miheset hazav, even though there's no way to stick your hand into it at this particular point. And that's, okay, so.
Silly question.
Yeah.
Would Samit Patil then have something to do with the fact that the place where the Patila is closed?
No.
Okay.
No, it means that it's as if you put around it something that is flexible to fit in to close it completely. It's as if it's mechubar to it very closely. It's the tzamid patila, but it's not a lashon of patila in the sense of a wick. It just takes the same makar that the wick does, right? Something that's formed out, pulled out.
down.
Right. So over here also, it's like it's if it's connected around the edges. It's been pulled tight. I think that in English we would say it that way. You pull the cover tightly over it, so then it would be tzamit patil. Kach nir liam shir. There's other. It's a strange lashon bechlal. Tzamit patil. Fine. So in any event, we now have another option. It could be Rebbe Eliezer Ber Tzadik, who specifically addresses, and this lashon specifically addresses the difference between siruf and the asiyas kli of punching out the beitza, which is according to Rashi perfect. To which now we get to the same point we were at in the first lashon, and we ask the same question we did before, in which we say that Omar Le Abaye, how do you know? Dilmat kan lo kamar Rebbe Eliezer Ber Tzadik, just like Abaye said the previous lashon on Libet Rebbe Meir. Here he asks, maybe Rebbe Eliezer Ber Tzadik was only talking about the Lachaz of the Kabbalah Bamide. After all, the Ilfis and Karaniot are suitable for putting things in. I mean, they make a beautiful placemat. But what in the world are you going to do with a tiny lamp that can't hold any oil? It's a little thing that you fill up, and what are you going to put in it? And the Gemara answers, it's chazi la kabula bepshite. You can use it for your shekel holder. Tana Rabba, ein po chatina taner, veino sin ilfis in charaniot biyomto. So making an ilfis charaniot is the same as being pocheta taner, and is brighter. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is matir making ilfis in charaniot. Why would he be matir making it? Because a ner, to make it without having its shimush on yontav, what am I going to? It's not really usable for anything that I need for ochel nefesh. Mashenkin over here, even though this is a strange way to make a kli, this is not a real kli. The ofis in charaniot is not completed, but since people use it like this, and I need it to eat, so memela would be mutter because of the ochel nefesh issue. It's a yontav issue to make an ofis charaniot. My charaniyot, what is this language of charan? On Rav Yehuda, iraniyot, it's a lotion of small towns. What's wrong?
I was wondering about the spelling of like arniyot, you're supposed to be aran?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I doubt it.
Iraniyot would be city
line. They said it's city, it's village, year versus krach. Okay. Is the way it's used. Usually the word Iraniot means small villages. Maybe, but I mean the Gemara asks, what exactly is that? My Iraniot, Amrabayit Soy Chakliata, refers to the type of plate that they'll use out on the farm. So it's very primitive. Ve'ino sin pechamim. The next piece of the Mishnah says you cannot make charcoal. Now, usually, I would make charcoal for industrial use. I would sell it to metal workers. Well, isn't that pshita? I mean, wouldn't that be a classic case of doing something on yontav that isn't usually used for anything on yontav? I mean, obviously, that would be like doing a malacha. Well, my chazi, what would I use that for? Tani Rebbe Chia lo nitzracha, ela lemosran lo layirin lo bo bayom. It's talking about over here that you would use this charcoal for today. What would you use it for today? You would give it over to the bathhouse. And this makes a very good way. This is fuel for heating the boiler in the bathhouse. So you're going to give it over for yontem. Oh, by yom. You're not allowed to take baths on yontem. We ossered all that whole gezeira of being mechami, both on Shabbos and on yontem. Even if it's from Erev Yontav and Erev Shabbos. So Mishori, what's the heter? No, this is like Rava said in back in Shabbos. Yom Rava Lazia. It's talking about, over there, some of the Chachomim had gone to the bathhouse. So yes, how is that possible? So Rava answered over there. It's talking about they went in for a Shvitz. Shvitz is also Osir, but the Gzeiron of Shvitz came later. So that the Maisa was Kodem Gezerah. Our Mishnah that says it's not so posh, it has to tell you, it's also to make charcoal, was talking about where there's an obvious use for the charcoal, but nonetheless, it's Makshirim, that it's the Derech to do a lot of, and that we Aser. So, Hachanami Lahazia V'Kodem Gezerah. It's talking about over here that the Mishnah meant, even though you're making it Lahazia, and Lahazia could be called Tzorech Eichel Nefesh. Why? Because it's for health purposes. And in Finland, people would commit suicide without it. So therefore, so therefore, saunas certainly would be mutter. Right?
What about a barbecue?
You don't go to two steps making, taking first wood, taking it out, right?
Purist, maybe.
Absolutely preferable. There would be people who make charcoal.
Amen. Health reasons are considered to be shovel kol nefesh, even though a lot of people wouldn't aren't interested in a schmitz. But since if you're not feeling well, you sweat out a fever and so on. So it's considered to be a refuah type of thing. I don't mean refuah mamish, but refuah itself is also. But things that are eaten for health, that people, to get warm, to stay warm, make a fire.
Anybody feeling that way would want to take
You know, it's just, it makes you stronger, comfort. Once raising now this issue of melachas that are generally done a lot at a time, that we saw some of the Rishonim hold that that's bichlal, the getter of what things we aser doing on Yontev at all, like Ketzira and so on, you know, all the early melachas. The truth is there are some that learn that that's been the pattern. Here, I pointed out the pattern of the original when we started is in terms of Kli, Hachana of Kli, starting from the Bayit Shumalei Perot. And as we moved from Mukta, the original problem of Mukta, into the problem of Kalin, Binyan and Stira, then we got into in the Gemara, which always introduces, as I've pointed out many times, the next Sugya. So we got into the question of the binyan vestira bekelim, and then the question of what it is you're allowed to cut and to open and so on. And here we talk about mamash achanas kli. Trace the pattern of the perek that way. But some of the Rishonim learned that the central pattern is actually the question of things that are done in ways that are often done a lot at a time, not connected with the immediate usage, which brings them back into the ketira issue. And that's an entirely different way, by the way, learning yesterday's sugya. In other words, Rashi was learning the whole issue in yesterday's sugya was the question of mukta. So he saw the earlier part of the Mishnah, mevi'in etzim min asadeh min amachunas, the difference between a karfef and a sadeh. To him, was simply a question of whether it's mukhan or not. That's it. The key is a question of whether it's shomor. Is it considered to be on your mind? If it's close enough to where you live, then it's more on your mind. Far away, it's less on your mind. So the whole sugya worked in very beautifully to him as part of the next Mishnah, Eimavak and Eitzim. The obvious problem with that is that the Gemara in the beginning of the Masechta did not bring a raya from that part of the Mishnah that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. It only brought a raya from Eimavak and Eitzim, Lominikor Shadish Rabbi Yomtov. With the whole first part of the Mishnah was going on Libra to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rashi, and the Gemara ignores it completely. Right? That's very suspicious. So, because of that, there are other completely different interpretations. And the Shulchan Aruch seems to, I mean, the Mishnah Berurah says in the, that the Shulchan Aruch's interpretation of the Sugya is that it has to do with Tircha, the Yom Tov. Very difficult to fit in all of the different elements in terms of Tircha, but he doesn't go through the details. But that's in the Mashma'ut of the Lashon. Okay, that already, I don't know what his Makor would be in the Rishonim. I didn't see any of the Rishonim hold that. But we mentioned yesterday Tosis' rejection of the concept of Ma'amer being a problem here. Right? He says, not Ma'amer because it didn't grow here. So if it doesn't grow, I mean, in the middle of a Sada, you don't have, unless it's a Sada of Christmas trees, I mean, but normally a Sada doesn't have trees. I mean, so we're talking about driftwood, so to speak. Wood that's blown into the air. You have to take it out anyway. You're going to use it. Your mind is on it to use it for your your fireplace. But the Balamor, by the way, some of the Achronim ask a beautiful question. There's one man, the Yomar, who says that the Mekoshesh Eitzim was Chayev Mishum Ma'amer. But the Midbar is not a place where you usually have wood. So you see that it's Ma'amer even if it's not the place where it grows here. That's what the time is on Taisvis. Very interesting. So, I mean, they're Mechadish. Maybe the reason is no Ma'amer on this is because ma'amer always means you pile something up in order for it to be piled, not you pile something up in order to use it immediately. That's not the derech of ma'amer.
You want to pile.
Yeah, I want the pile to burn. I mean, that's not called ma'amer. Ma'amer is where now, for the purposes of ketira, I let it dry there for a while and so on. So maybe b'chlal it's not considered to be ma'amer. Okay, but it's interesting, the Balamora's approach to the entire sugya is that it's all a function of ma'amer. Now the question is, so why can't I be ma'amer letzarech kol nefesh, or to see, which is part of my tzrachim? So he says, oh, because ma'amer is the type of thing that normally you do a lot of at a time. So, but not always. So that's the question. If it's in a karfev, that's not all right. People don't confuse that with the imur and the sadeh. I mean, you're obviously what you're doing over there is just gathering it in order to be able to use for now. So we're not, that we wouldn't be gazed at it. It looks like a ma'amer that you would do always like katsira. But if it's in a sadeh, then already it's different. And the dafka mina between the location and the key is the nafka mina between the similarity of an enclosed space to a sadeh place. It's a question of whether this is imur, but it is imur. But it's imur l'tzarech kol nefesh. So it's one, Richie, where's the machine?
I worked last night, but very schwach.
You use the machine and you're still coming in tired?
I use the machine.
No, it takes a while to get used to.
I didn't sleep well.
It takes a couple of days.
And we replaced basically the brain and the. He now is the 60 million dollars. Could be the batteries are still
shot. To the breathing machine, you know.
It's going to sort of look like in the Matrix, you know, in a pocket, you're hooked up, and, you know,
you've always been wondering whether Richie was fully alive. We've now installed additional parts. Yes.
It's sort of an overnight recharge.
No, I think that was it. Yeah, no. Okay, so we have basically three approaches to the sugya earlier, which gives us another little bit of a different focus, in which case we could take a look at the element in our Mishnah, which is the Asiyas Pechomim, as being part of the Baal HaMor's approach, in terms of a pattern in what's going on here, about malachas that are generally done a lot at a time, which even though you're using it specifically for things that are ochal nefesh to you, we don't want you to do it because it's too close to looking like you're doing malachas. Let me continue because I'm in a rush. Okay, so it's talking about our Mishnah Kodem Gezeirah. So indeed, I would have thought I could do it in order to be Mezia for the Sana. And I can't. In Chotchinat HaPtila L'Shnayim. I don't understand. What would be this? You can't cut it with a knife, but you can cut it with the fire. Can you explain to me the difference? I mean, Mishnah B'Sakin D'Lo. Why did you say you can't cut it with a knife? Obviously, I mean, because to come attacking mana. You now are basically creating a new wick, right? So, and if I use fire, I mean, it's very common, that's the way people do it. Can't say it's a shinui. Get a long wick, you put it over the fire, pull it into two. I mean,
it doesn't constitute a
shinui. No, that's basically the way that it's done. So he's also making the takein mana. Oh, Tani Rabbi Chia. No, it doesn't mean put it over a fire to cut it. What Rabbi Yehuda meant was chutcha bo'or b'pi shtei neirot. You put either end into a different lamp and light the middle. That's what he's saying. So over there, when you're really making two lamps. Yeah. Okay, so then it's at that point that it becomes the actual usage. It's not two steps. First, I'll be metakein mane, which runs into the whole question of bachshirei ochal nefesh and so on. Oh, but you're not lighting it. I'm lighting it. That's the derech of hadlak. It's not the derech of tikkun mane. Tani Rabbi Chia. Okay, we said, sorry. Omer Rabbi Natan Barab Amarab. Mochatin et aptila b'yom tov. You can do a mechita. What's that? My mochatin, Omer Reb Chananya bar Shalmiya. It means la aduye chushacha. This is also a little bit of a play on words. You can lift the dark, meaning what often happens if petila gets a gob of dark material on top of it, which is carbonized. It doesn't burn properly because it's too thick. You could pick that off, and if you pick it off, it now gets light. So you can lift the dark by creating the light. That is, by taking off the dark part, you get a lot of light in the room.
Would you need a clue to lift that?
No, you pick it off, which actually, because of that, we a lot of Peskin learn from here that things that are done without any kind of tircha. Very interesting psat and Rav Shulchan Aruch. Of course, the Hasidim all had big Lubavitcher hats. So the shayla, and of course you always sit on them, and you know, somebody bashes them trying to see the Rebbe. So the shayla is, can you unbash your hat on Shabbos, or is it called tikkun mana? So he brings a riot from our sugya. Why can you be pochetin la duya chashucha? Because it's not something that's even noticeable. It's such a small thing. The kli basically is there. I mean, someone would really notice if you wear it all smashed in. It looks basically the same. So to fill it out and to make it, put it back into shape is no different than this in comparison to this. It's an interesting psychology.
I said this is removing the carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm misunderstanding it. Yeah. I get the impression that it's lit, and one is taking one's hand and removing this thing so that it will continue to burn better.
It's yomtiv.
Fair enough, but one won't burn one's hand.
If it doesn't have to be lit, you can be
modern. When are you, some modern American Canadian who's worried about putting your finger into a fire for a moment?
Yeah.
Try it. Doesn't burn. It really doesn't burn.
Oh, is it kind of like putting
one's stick? Yeah, you could just go like that. Tani Bar Kapora. That's already four. Tani Bar Kapora. No, it doesn't have to be lit. No. Tani Bar Kapora. Shisha Devarim Ne'emru B'Ptila. There are six halachas about a ptila that apply to Yontif. Three of them are lechumra, that you're not allowed to do on Yontif. And three of them are lekula, that you are allowed to do on Yontif. And here they are. First of all, in godlino tabach lechatchila, you cannot twist together a ptila starting from scratch, because that's basically making a kli. Ve'in mahavavimo tabu'ur. Furthermore, even if you had that done before yontif, you cannot burn the edge for the first time to get a little bit of carbon at the end.
To singe
it, because that takes off the little pieces that are sticking on all directions. That's basically the gimur. Vein chutchino talishnayim, and as we just saw, you can't cut it into two parts. All of that is lahakmer. Lahakel. Sorry? Lahakel. There are things now that you are allowed to do, namely, mima'acha biyad. You can squeeze it down with your hand. And as a machlok is what this means, that it's already made, but it's too thick, and you want it thinner to be able to carry the oil better, to get better capillary actions. You can twist it between your fingers. But some Rishonim learned that memacha really means gidol, except that it's being done kelachar yad, therefore it's mutter even as so you take a piece of cotton, you rub it, you're really being megadol a ptila, but it's not the way that you would normally be megadol, therefore it would be okay. Vishora b'shemen, you can let it soak in oil before lighting it. Vichotcha b'ur b'pishtei nerot, you can put it into the ends, into two separate lamps, and light the middle. V'yom Rabbi Natan Baraba Amarav, once already we're on the subject of Ma'amori, that were said by Rabbi Natan Baraba, quoting Rav, you know, one of the vicious things, Rav did not like some of these rich Balabatim in Bavel. So he said, Atirei Bavel Yordei Gehenomim. You want to know a type of person who lives basically to guarantee him a place in hell? It's these rich guys from Bavel. I'll tell you a story you're not going to believe. Poor Shabtai Bar Marinus. He came to Bavel once. Could be it's referring to his particular area, the town of Bavel, not Bechlal, the whole Bavel. Boy Minayo Yiska. He wanted to do work. He didn't want to be dependent on anybody. He didn't want to ask for tzedakah. So he says, you know what? You'll give me an Yiska. He says, you invest with him. I'll give you some schora. You go out and sell it. We'll split the profits. It's been good for both of us. No way. They didn't give it to him. No Yavali. Okay, I need something to eat. You're not going to do that? No. Mizoni mezinami was. You want a little bit of something to eat? Too bad. So Shabtai says, oh, these guys aren't Jewish. Hanimi Erev Ravko. Obviously, these guys are still the descendants of the Erev Rav. Because, look, I mean, it says Beferish in the Pasek, V'natan lecha rachamim v'richamecha v'irbecha. So what does that mean? Kol amarachem al abriot biyadua shehu mizaro shel Avram Avinu. Natan lacharachamim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into your neshama a tendency towards rachamim. So if you have that type of neshama, so clearly you come from Avram Avinu, whose initial work on the neshama was creating a neshama that is sensitive. But kol mi she'eino merachem al abriyot biyadua she'eino mizaro shel Avram Avinu. Clearly, he doesn't come from Avram Avinu. So, and the Rambam actually says that someone that doesn't have merachem, you have to be chayish for his yichus, based on this gemara, because it says only the derech of of Ovdei Avodah Zorah. It relates it directly back to Avram Avinu. It has to do with the difference between those who are Ovdei Avodah Zorah and those who have a Torah, he says, that straightens the way they look at reality. What do you...
That's your name?
Oh, that's another. There's two Rambams that talk about this. Yeah, here...
This is the one...
This is the one that's closest to the quote of the Gemara, yeah. Okay.
That's not... It's a different one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is...
Was the other one?
Yeah.
This is before the onset of Din and Avraham Avinu?
Sorry?
This is before the onset of Din and Avraham Avinu? Just like straight out Rachamim?
No, that was his work. His work was creating the sensitivity to Rachamim. The Rambam doesn't say Avram, he says Yisroel, because over there, as the Mefarshim point out, it doesn't include Arabs. It includes the Avram that became Yisroel. So, but since the Mokar is Avram, so we go back to Avram.
Includes Gerim as well?
Well, that's the Shaila. I mean, if it's Erev Rav, it's not real Gerim. They're not Bnei Avram. That's why he's calling them Erev Rav. He's not saying they're Stam Gerim. He's saying they're Erev Rav. So it's like, we're really coming for Avram, I mean.
Why
chromosome markers? Somebody, like the case we just had, Shabtai Bar Marinas, who depends on other people inviting him to their table to eat, is the world is dark for such a person. Shinemar nodeidu lalechem. Person has to go from place to place for food. Aye yadaki nachon biyado yom choshech. He's darshening. He never knows if it's in his hand. The day is dark. Rav Chisda Amar, Av chayav einam chayim. That's I need to hurry to end this time. Av chayav einam chayim. His life is no life bechalal. Some say this is a reference even to chaye olam haba, because he's never has an opportunity to fully develop his life. There's three people that you can't call their life living. Someone who needs to be invited to eat and otherwise has nothing to eat. A guy whose wife controls his life. That's a disaster. A guy whose body is controlled by Yisurin and therefore he can't do the things he needs to do. Somebody who only owns one set of clothes, he can never send them to the cleaners. So they get infested. I mean, as you give a Tanakama, why doesn't he list that as being no life at all? Look, you can manually, you know, pick off the parasites and at least you can live, you know. Hey. All right. You cannot break a kli. So here the opposite. Here it's similar to the sugya we had before. Because in breaking, what they used to do, if they had a small fish, they wouldn't put it directly on the barbecue, because then the metal of the askala was too hot. It would burn right through the fish, these little fish. So they would put basically either pieces of paper that they would soak in water and let the fish have time to get heated, or they would use broken pieces of cheres. So you don't break the cheres, and you cannot cut the paper. Litzlot bo maliach, in order to do the barbecuing of salt fish. Vein gorfim tanur v'kirayim, nor can you clear out tanur v'kirayim from, as we saw earlier, pieces that fall from the top and the sides. By the way, this is the place where there's the big discussion of whether cutting paper is considered to be the equivalent of cutting, like cutting of a material. So sometimes, because if it is, then what's the chiddush over here? In chotchin hiyar, it does not nichnas just into the problem of creating a mona or shviras mona to use, but It's mamash malach. So how come we ignore that? There's all types of discussions as to why. Some taina that things that are not made out of strands are not included in the din of chaticha, to which others respond that leather is not made out of strands. And leather is essential chaticha. Because how could you say that the paper is not meant?
What was the malach in
chotech? On oros.
Oros.
Yeah. So, I mean, that should be perfect. Well, why is paper any different than leather? I mean, what dafka material? Why dafka material is similar to leather? So others say that the paper was so valuable that it was complete kilkel. So kilkel is not considered to be a malacha. So that wouldn't be the problem. Because mostly it's an act of kilkel. Okay, but anyway, I'm in a terrible rush today. But I mean, here's a nice place to begin a discussion of the issue of chaticha. Aval mechapshin, what you can do is you can flatten out the bottom of the tanur v'kirayim to get it out of the way. Remember, they used to use really the edges of the tanur v'kirayim, right? The tanur, the edge, they would put it on, and the kirayim anyways from underneath. So you can flatten it out. You don't want pieces that are taller because it'll burn the bread. If you have, let's say, a rock that's in the middle of your tanur, then that part gets hot, your bread on top, the pita, is going to burn in that area. So you can be kovech. Ve'en makifim. Shtei chaviyot tishpot aleihem et haketeira. You want to now make a fire underneath a pot. You don't have a stovetop. You cannot take two barrels, put them close to each other. Remember, the barrels were made out of cheres, not out of wood. And put the kedera on top of it, and make a fire underneath. And now you'll basically have a ready-made stovetop, because that's already similar to making a tent. Make two sides, and the kedera becomes the top of the tent. So you can't do that. Doesn't matter, even though it's arai. Ein somchin et hakedera bebakat. Furthermore, if you have an uneven stovetop, you cannot take a piece of wood, stick it under the edge of the kedera that is shaky, because basically the main usage of wood is for burning. This is how Rashi learns the sugya. I hate it. Quiet already. I tell you, there must be a way to shut this thing up. It's always bankless running. Tosu says that kasha. How is this different than a folding table? Exactly Tosu's kasha. Excellent. Tosu comes out with, it's so interesting. Shulchan on top of either safsalim or other things that you bring out. But some ask the chlal, the way that they had the tables that they had, like the trestle tables. There's two pieces, and then you put the top on. So Tosis comes out here, based on that question, is understanding the sugya differently than Rashi. And he says the only time that we say that something is similar to making an oho is not when there's just a top, but when you're making the sides and the top. But to put something in the middle to support a platform, that's not called making an oho. It has to be like a building. That's what we're talking about. Even though maybe technically there's issues of oho, but they only asserted making all arai in this fashion, which is a complete change in the sugya later on, as we'll see momentarily. And you also can't use a door. That's what it's mashma. You can't use a door to support the pot to make it even, which the Gemara is going to say doesn't make any sense. For the same reason, again, we think at this point it's the same reason, that a stick is basically not meant for purposes other than hasaka. And so because of that, you cannot just take a stick and use it to be guide your animal on yonta. For Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon Matir, and we'll see in the Gemara that it's different than we think. My time, what is the reason for this problem of Enshavah to come attack in Mana? Ve'en gorfim tanur v'kirayim, tanur v'priya bayos kemele v'em Nachman, v'im v'i efshar le'efot. There's no other way to bake, because it's so high that it's going to ruin whatever you're baking that's attached to the top, the sides. So then, mutar. The vita of Rebbe Chiya's wife had a problem, not for la'aricha, but tanur v'yumatava, one of the bricks from the top of the tanur fell down and was lying on the bottom, and she didn't want to take it out because they engorfed. So her husband told her, Well, I just want you to realize, I like good bread on Yantav, meaning make sure the bread doesn't get burned, which meant that he was telling her, you can't use it like that, you better take it out. And Rava would tell his valet, I want you to cook me up a nice duck or a goose, but izdair mecharucha, make sure that it doesn't get burned. In other words, make sure that the oven is even. Omele Ravina Ravashi. Ravina was once talking to Ravashi, said, you know, we heard from Ravacham Yutzo that your minig is demar sharkin leitanu rabbi yumatava. You have your avodim sealing up the oven on Yontav. They used to have the oven, remember, open towards the top, but they would put a teat around the edges, like a cement, to close it tight, so that it would cook well. How could you do that on Yontav? You're not allowed to be megabel, as that's like Elisha, that can be done from before. Amalei anana rakita de prat samchina. We live at the edge of the Euphrates, my dear, and around here, you have the, it's already megubal, we just take a pile of it and put
mud.
But this is only if you made a simon there that I want to use this area, because otherwise it's a stammer problem, but it's not going to move. Omaravina vikinta shari, it would be mutter to use the ash. In Rashi, it's mutter to use the ash and to mix it with water and to be sharek the tanur, because it's not the derech of lisha, there's no lisha and ashes. Tosfos brings the right that there is. He's talking about dry ash, he says. In mekifin shtei chaviyot, you can't bring two barrels together on Rebbe Nachman. Avanim shabet hakisei mutar letzadadan biyom tov. You are allowed to use now two. They would have areas that they would use as a bet hakisei, and people would form basically a seat by taking rocks that were meyuchad for this, and to build a little toilet, and then you'd sit on the top of it. So he was saying that that's mutter. So the question is, why is that mutter? Esve Rabbel or Nachman, why is that any different than in, it says in our Mishnah, in makifin shtei chaviyot ishpot aleihem et hakedera, that you can't, it's very interesting because a euphemism for moving your bowels was lishpot et hakedera, they use the same word. But it says over here that you can't make what's the equivalent of a toilet seat. There you're making it for a pot, and over here you're making it for your own pot. So why is that mutter? There's no comparison. Over there, you're making an oil. When you put down the kater, that's an oil. When you put your rear end over something, that's not an oil. The person sitting on something, not there of an oil. So over there, you're making oil. Omalei Rabba Zutul Ravashi. So are you trying to tell me that Vana Itztaba Beyantib Lo Havid Allah, a guy builds a pillar that doesn't have an area in the middle with sides and a top. That's mutter. You're defining an oil as dafka has to have something that has an area in between and a cover. So you're going to tell me Yochanan and Sherman? Come on, please. I'm not being in kvas or teremets. It's the arisa. That's what do I care what has an opening? Does I mean over here the shaila is the rabbanim are coming to ask for something to turn into nasir. A binyan arai. Obviously, putting a couple stones together is not the binyan that the Torah asserted. The rabbanim are gozer. So what type of gzera did they make is the question. So gozer rabbanim al binyan arai. Why? Because maybe you'll come to make a binyan kvas. There were certain areas where they were in gozer. So to make a toilet seat, mishum kavod habrias, that they didn't aser. They didn't make everything similar to that, which would be aser if it were made as a binyan kva. Lo gozer be rabbanan. Omar Rav Yehuda, haimadurta milamala lamata, shari milamala lamata lamala aser. To make, set up a fireplace, which you always do by creating a little bit of area on the sides, large pieces of wood on top, and then you have a place to put in kindling wood underneath to get the fire going with air all around it. That's the same thing, isn't it? You're making basically an oil with a place to put in the kindling. So you can't do that unless you do it with a shinui. You first put down the large pieces of wood, and then you build up the edges. You're going from the top down, which is obviously an extremely ridiculous way of doing things. But in order to make the shinui, that would be mutter. But milamata lamala tzaser v'chein be'at. The same thing would be true about a large egg that you put down. Now Rashi learns you put this egg down on a tripod over the coals to bake. But Tosfos says no, because a tripod means that it's there, you didn't make the edges. The way I'm learning, it's only if you make the edges, because that was my heter for the table. Therefore, it's talking about over here to means make a pile of eggs that support an egg in the middle. But that's called now the equivalent of the case before of the kedera. V'chein kedera, same thing would be true about the case of the kedera on the chaviot. V'chein puria, that would also be true if you're making. So all of these you have to do it with the shinoi of starting from the top and going down to the bottom. The same thing would be true about a puria, where you're making a bed by spreading now the leather over boards that are the edges of the bed. First spread out the leather, or whatever you're using, and then put the edges and bring it up. And the same thing would be true about v'chein chavita. The same thing would be true where you're simply trying to put your barrels in, but you need the air to circulate. You alternate barrels. You leave a little bit of space underneath and the top and the sides of the next one. But that means that basically you're building a little oil for each one. So you have to start, and then you build from underneath. Ve'in somchinat ha'kedera bebakat, ve'chein bedelet. You cannot use a bakat or a delet. Delet? Salkadaita? Come on, what are we talking about? Putting a kedera on the door? You mean for somebody you don't like, so when he opens the door, the whole kedera falls on his head? Is that what we're talking about? What's the case? No. Ve'chein ha'delet. It means a door that's cockeyed, don't put a bakat under it the same way you would with a kedera.